favorite line is, "You see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same." The one who knows us the best loves us the most. That is something to praise God for. Lord, I stand in awe of you because of your unfailing love, your patient love for me and for your children. And now, Lord, as we come to your word, we'll come to the Psalms. We're going to see what you have for us this morning. So I pray that you'd speak through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Find Psalm 22. We're going to be in the Psalms, and then we'll see what God has for us. Psalm 22 has an amazing statement. Psalm 22, verse 22. And we will be in the Psalms. So if you have a Bible, I know it's easier to flip pages. If you have some kind of device, you got to use your thumbs, but you know, you can read. Psalm 22 says, "I will tell of your name to my brethren." You wonder why we gather together to worship when, technically speaking, you can worship anywhere. You can worship by yourself. You could be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We hope you're not stranded. But you can worship by yourself, but you don't have any brethren there. And part of us gathering together, whenever we gather together, is we are proclaiming God's name to our brethren. We are reminding us. It's where, you know, our prayer times, so that's 9 o'clock, give or take a few minutes. Join. I mean, they're awesome, where you just got a time and you pray, or Wednesday night where you pray. And what we're doing is telling his greatness to our brethren. And you know what that does for us? It encourages us. And we know Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but we are to gather together to stimulate and encourage one another to love and good deeds." And this happens as we come and we tell of God's name to our brethren. As we sing, "Indescribable, uncontainable you are. You know the stars by name," and we're thinking, if he knows the stars by name, hey, he knows me. And the God who knows me the best loves me the most. And man, you know, that's encouraging. That is encouraging. So I think, you know what? I can, with God's help, I can go another week. I can go another week. So we come to tell of your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. To you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. Here it comes, and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. Now turn a few pages to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, where we started. Cliff read the beginning for us, where we're to sing for joy to the Lord, are you righteous ones, praise. You notice this, praise is becoming, verse 1, to the upright. When you praise God, something happens on the inside, spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's, you know, I don't know how else to say it, but it's healing, it's refreshing, it's what we're supposed to do. It feels so good to be doing what you're supposed to do, instead of always looking over your shoulder because you know you're not. So praise is becoming to the upright. And we give him thanks. The best we can, we give him thanks. Why? Verse 6 picks up the thought. Psalm 33, 6, "For the by the word of the Lord the heavens were made." We come and we, again, back to indescribable. Man, you made all of this. Lord, go outside tonight. The moon was in some phase at 6 this morning. I forget where it was, but you know, that's awesome. Every time I look at that, I think there's God on display. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were... Well, I read that. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Verse 7. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays the depths in storehouses. Therefore, verse 8, and I'm adding to therefore, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Because he has done this. Because by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their hosts, the heavens and everything. So all of the earth is to stand in awe. Stand in awe. It's an interesting Hebrew word. It sounds weird. It's gur. Gur. And it means to, literally, it means to turn aside from the way. Turn aside from the way. So here's the thought. Turn aside from the way to fear and then to stand in awe of. So you're walking through your life, you're doing your thing, and what this means is that if you see what God has done, you are to turn aside from your way, and you are to have fear of Yahweh and stand in awe of him. The English word, according to Webster, awe, means an emotion variously combining dread and veneration. We stand in awe of a tidal wave in dread because it's dangerous. We stand in awe of fire, of forest fires. I hate to say that up here because this is where we live, because it's dangerous. So there's dread, but we also stand in awe because of veneration. That's another great word. Veneration means respect or awe inspired by the dignity, wisdom, or a dedication or talent of a person. And so we stand in awe of God because that's who he is. Now, you got that, right? Yeah, I got it. I need to stand in awe of God. Why? Well, he created the universe and all that, but I got it. But what else? To help you know what else, go to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. You're going to see why we stand in awe of God. Why do we stand in awe of God? Here's why. First of all, in Psalm 65, in verse 1, notice the point. Okay, notice the point. Here's why we stand in awe. Here's the point. Verse 1. There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God. And to you the vow will be performed. In other words, we're going to come and do what we're supposed to do. But here's the key. There will be silence, that's our silence, before you and praise in Zion to you. Or as the King James says, praise waiteth for thee. I like that. Praise waiteth for thee. Or the ESV, praise is due to you. Oh, that's the point. That's why we stand in awe. And then the rest of the Psalms gives us the reason why praise is waiting for God. We're going to notice five of them. Number one is prayer. Prayer. Verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. You realize what a privilege it is to pray to God? I don't know if we think about that. You know, so we stand in awe, and I think about this sometimes, is because of all the people on earth that God knows, that God is involved with, he's listening to me. Who in the world am I? I'll tell you, I'm his son. And the son can go in anytime, has access to the Father. One of my favorite pictures of all time of presidents is JFK there in the Oval Office with his little son playing under his desk. That's what a son does. It has access to the president. You try doing that and you'll be shot, right? I mean, we just can't waltz into the president. I mean, try calling the White House, try doing all that. I mean, it doesn't happen unless you're a son. And that's the access I have to God in prayer. So I stand in awe of him. I pray to him. Oh my goodness. You think of, stay in Psalms, but I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 4, where it tells us in verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that is prayer, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I stand in awe of God because I have that privilege. And I have that privilege, if you go to Hebrews 10, because the Christ, through his blood and through the sacrifice himself, he tore down the veil that separated us from God, and now we have this access to God. So we stand in awe of God because of prayer, because of the privilege of prayer. And as we saw last time from Isaiah 44, you know, if you're an idol worshiper, you're in trouble. And you can pray to your God. You think of the prophets of Baal, right, in Mount Carmel. And they had the contest to see who truly was God. And Elijah says, all right, you know, let's build an altar. He put animals on there and called to your God. And whatever God brings fire down from heaven, then that is the true God. You remember how they cried and they cried and they cut themselves. And Elijah was a little... kind of rubbed it in a bit, and he says, you know, cry a little louder. Maybe he's turned aside. Maybe he's gone on a trip or whatever. And cry all you want. There's nothing there. But they're praying to what they believe is something when it's nothing. I was thinking of this morning. We looked at it last week in Isaiah 44, where the people that make an idol, the guy cuts down an oak, and in part of it, he makes a fire to warm himself. This is Isaiah 44:15. As part of it, he uses the fire to make his bread. And with the rest of it, he makes a god and worships it from the same tree. I lit a fire this morning. I did not. I was glad it caught on the first try. But I wasn't worshiping the wood. But idol worshipers do. Half of it is burned with the fire. The other half he eats meat with it. And the rest of it, he bows down. At the end of verse 17, he worships it and he prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. And what is that wooden idol going to deliver him from? Nothing. The wood delivered him from cold. The wood helped cook a meal, so delivered him from hungry, but that wasn't his God. That wasn't that idol. But see, we have the tremendous privilege of coming to God and having him answer us. If you're in Psalm 65, just go one psalm to the right, Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Look at this pleasure, this privilege. Verse 16. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer, and blessed be God, who has not turned away from my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. He answers my prayer. Yes, no, maybe, wait. Those are all answers. And I've had all of them. He answers our prayer. And then Psalm 22, where we started. I love this. Verse 4. David is saying, in you, God, Yahweh, our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. Verse 5. To you they cried out and were not disappointed or ashamed. We have the privilege of prayer, especially as his children, really only his children, but therefore, man, praise is due him. We stand in awe like, God, why do you listen to me? Why do you listen to me? With all the things you got going on, I thought of this once when I was in traffic on the 405 headed south, and you get around the airport and you just stop and go. You never get out of first gear. And I was looking at all these people on both sides, typically one person per car. And we're all traveling, and I remember once had the thought, God, you know every one of these people. You know what they're struggling. You know what they're fleeing from. You know what they're fleeing to. You know what they have done. You know what they're going to do. And if they're praying, you're listening to all of them. How does that happen? He's God. And I'm thankful, so I praise him, and I stand in awe because of the privilege of prayer. Number two, I praise him and stand in awe because of the forgiveness of sins. Verse 3, Psalm 65, 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. Really? You know, David knew that very well. If you go to Psalm 32, still in the Psalms, you remember that when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, sin, killed her husband, sin. In fact, that's a very deceitful sin, because Uriah is a real hero of mine in the Bible, because he does everything right. And the King David, the man after God's own heart, kills him to get his wife and to cover his sin. Anyway, as David is in his sin for at least 9 months, where Nathan approaches him, finally the baby has been born. And as David is in that condition, he hid his sin, as we all tend to do. We make excuses, we make rationalizations, we push it to the back. It really wasn't that bad. In David's case, you could really argue that one. But anyway, you know, we tend to just, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to read the Bible because it may come up. No. Well, as he kept silent about his sin, verse 3 says, my body wasted away. Through my groanings all day long, I couldn't get away from it. For night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. I knew you were dealing with me, and I knew I was wrong, and I still didn't confess. Heavy upon me. My vitality, my strength, my vigor was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I was drying up. I was dried up. I did that for 9 months. Until God in his mercy sent Nathan the prophet to tell David that little story about the lamb and the people stealing it. And David was obsessed. And then Nathan says, David, thou art the man. And God used that to turn David around. As it says, verse 5 of Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned, Lord, and done what is evil in your sight. I just come clean. He doesn't want even an explanation. He doesn't want you to describe it, because he knows. You just say, I've done what is wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. Acknowledge my sin before you, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Let me ask you a question. Is that worthy of praising God, to be free of that burden? You know, I like this one. Psalm 103:12 tells us that as far as the east is from the west, and they never meet, because I believe in an infinite universe, they never meet. That's how far God has taken our sins away from us. or Micah 7:19, where he has thrown them in the depths of the deepest sea. The point is, I have forgiven it. It's gone. So don't bring it back up. Don't go salvaging for your sin. Leave it alone. You have been forgiven. Oh, my goodness, how great it is to be forgiven. How great it is to be told, you're no longer guilty. You can go free because of what Christ did for us as we're coming to Easter. So we praise God. We stand in awe of him for prayer, for forgiveness. Number three, because he has chosen us. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 65. Verse 4. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. You realize none of us chose God. He chose us. He tells that to his disciples very clearly in John. You know, there at the Last Supper, the Upper Room Discourse, he tells them, hey guys, I just want you to know that John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Ephesians 1 talks about our choice, about God choosing us. In Ephesians 2, about God's grace that saves us. Romans 3 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that are seeking for him. See, God is looking for us. And I've kind of learned over the years, or I'm trying to learn, that instead of saying, and I know, I understand the sentiment, Lord, where you say, oh Lord, you know, so-and-so is seeking you, may they find you. I understand what you're saying, because I've said that. But it's more correct to say, Lord, may you go find them. May you go find them. May you leave the 99 and go get them, because that's what the Good Shepherd does. And so David is telling us that we praise God. We stand in awe because he chose us. Man, you know, you think of all the famous people around and everything, but you know, who am I? Hey, I'm chosen by God. He is my Heavenly Father. And he has chosen me that I should dwell in his courts. I should dwell in his courts. You know, as you go to Psalm 84:10, still in the Psalms, Psalm 84:10, a few pages to the right. Psalm 84:10, like this one. Psalmist says, again, well, this is Korah. Korah says, for a day in your courts, God, is better than 10,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's what's so great about church. You go to a biblical church that is preaching the word of God, where people love God. This is where we want to be. In fact, how does Psalm 23 end? The psalm about our good shepherd who cares for us and forgives us and strengthens us and guides us and comforts us and feeds us. At the end, surely goodness and mercy, because you're my shepherd, will follow me all the days of my life. And how does it end? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will be in your courts because you chose me. That's a reason for me to praise God. That's a reason for me to forget about all the other things going on. Hey, yeah, look at, I mean, I got this, that, or the other thing, but I got you, Lord, and you got me chosen. Number four, we praise God because of the privilege of prayer. We praise and stand in awe because of forgiveness, because he has chosen us. Number four, because of awesome deeds. Look at verse 4. Verse 5. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. Or as the New English Translation says, you answer our prayers by performing awesome acts of deliverance. If you get stuck about, well, what am I praising God for today? Just start thinking of all the answers of prayer in your life that he's taking care of you. It's staggering. It is really staggering. And we have one that was mentioned in our prayer time, but it's, we know that our missionary Mike Tullier had recently gone to Myanmar, because remember, you know, Joel, with the building an orphanage, they had an orphanage, they had to flee because of the war. So now he has bought a parcel of land, and he wants to build another one. And I think that they have, he doesn't say in this letter, I think they have something like up to 30 kids. And so the landlord of where they were renting and housing these people wasn't real keen on all the children. So he has given Joel till the end of April to get them out. So that's the problem. Because he had bought this land, and they had put down a down payment, and they wanted to build, I think, two stories, but they need enough built so that they get the kids in there. So Michael goes there. He's there for 10 days, and he shares that what God has done. God is placed on the heart of the builder to make a commitment to try to finish this by the end of April. And he even bought 120 square feet of land attached, so, and donated it so that they can build other stuff. And he says, look at Joel, pay me what you can when you can. And we were praying. And what Michael is saying, praise be to our Father for answering prayer with mighty deeds. We stand in awe of you. So we want to praise God together with them for what he has done. Answered prayer. Number, and then it goes on, Psalm 65, by awesome deeds, O Lord of our salvation, you are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of all the farthest sea, people trust in you. You who established the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Verse 8, they who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. So if that's true, that's what I want to do. And then provision. We praise God for prayer, forgiveness, being chosen, mighty deeds, awesome deeds, and then provision. Look at how it ends, verse 9. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The streams of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. What? Praise to God for what he has done. Praise to God for what he has done. Now, when we do this from a heart that is right with God, and since none of us is perfect, what that means is we come before him and say, Lord, I'm going to clear the stage, as it were. I'm going to get rid of what I can, and I just want to focus on you. And what the heck is that? Keep going. I want to focus on you and not that weird sound, and just praise God for the awesome God that he is. Now, when we do that, as we said last week, we're on track. Because as we said last week, we realized the sands of the hourglass are slipping through for all of us. And there's coming a time at the end of Ecclesiastes when we're going to give an account. And part of that is God says, I want you to praise me. I want you to turn your thoughts, your intentions, your emotions, and all of that in praise me. Stand in awe of me. Because when we do that, we are recognizing him for who he is, which is the God of the universe, which is why everything was created. Father, we want to be thankful. We want to be faithful to you. We want to be faithful to you when we want to fulfill the purpose for which you created us. which is to worship you, which is to praise you, which is to stand in awe of you because you are that good. And Lord, personally, my goodness, let's take a moment and think. Like when we pray, God listens. May we take our prayer time more seriously and more faithfully, because we're addressing the God of the universe. I like to think of it this way. I'm addressing the God who did all of that for Abraham. I'm addressing the same God that talked to Moses and got the children of Israel out of Egypt and took them to the promised land. I'm talking to the God of David who praised you in the pastures and then as king. And even when he blew it, he came in confession before you and you forgave his sin. You're the same God I'm talking to. The God of the prophets. And then I come and I realize I'm talking to the God who so loved me that he sent his only begotten son to this world as we come to Easter to die on a cross for sin, to be buried, rise again the third day, and offer that life to those who trust him. And I'm talking to him. And he talks to me through his word and through the Holy Spirit. Lord, why wouldn't we praise you? So just draw us to you as we think about these thoughts. May it draw us to you, and may we praise you in the morning and in the evening and every space in between. May we love you. May we listen to you. May we serve you. Because you're the God that made everything, and you have rescued me. So I praise you. Spend a few moments and just think about that, and then we'll close this morning. Oh, indeed, Lord, those thoughts, I mean, far beyond me. But I can praise you. I can sing praises to you in the assembly of the righteous. I can declare these things to them, and they declare them to me, and we are refresh our memories together. That's the whole point. And oh, man, Lord, this is awesome. I'd rather be here than any other place. And I just pray that as we continue to meet, that you would just make these times sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And just bring our worship to this level and a higher level and a higher level. But in the meantime, as we leave this morning, may we learn to praise you. May we be praising you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, shall we stand? Thank you. because of prayer, because of forgiveness of sins, because you chose us, because you answer prayer and do mighty deeds, and because of your provision for us, and so much more, we stand in awe and praise you. In the morning and the evening and everything in between, we pray. Help us do that, Lord. We thank you we can. In Jesus' name.